Farpoint Media.
You've got a real type of thing going down, getting down. There's a whole lot of rhythm going round. It's Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Just like Alice Cooper, this episode is 18. I am your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Mel Gibstein. Hey, Mel Gibson's in the news for right now, the first week of August 2006. We did a State of the Deadpan in last week's episode. This podcast is becoming topical. Just don't rub it on your skin. More about that State of the Deadpan segment later.
My lord, the war goes well. But rebel propaganda is convincing more and more systems to join the Alliance. If this continues, we could have a problem.
I believe it is time to unleash the Emperor's secret weapon. Communications officer.
Comms are open, my lord.
Command to TD-0013.
Meanwhile, on Tatooine!
I'm telling you, babe. If you got a can opener, I got the time. Trust me. Once you pop the top, you can't stop.
Command to TD-0013. Your Empire needs you.
God damn it! What now?
A different point of view. The Star Wars saga through the eyes of a stormtrooper. For all things TD-0013, go to www.adpov.net. Don't be fooled by imitations and clones. This is the only point of view you need.
Hi, this is Mark Forman, the Brooklyn Blues Man and reigning Shogun of Taiwan. I'm trying to be totally deadpan. I want to fit in, otherwise Jack won't let me on again. In any case, this is the Deadpan Podcast.
Hello. Okay, so let me fill you in on the deal with this week's episode. Interviews shall return to the deadpan, just not this week. I do have some content for this episode 18, however. A new Duel of the Fates. Some, although not much, actually very little, listener-contributed content. Seriously, for those of you who did submit stuff, thank you very, very much. It's greatly appreciated. And hey out there, keep those stolen lyrics coming. Sure, I'm open to other genres besides rap and hip-hop. Why not? You're also welcome to pitch your dumbass memories, earbuds, whatever. You've heard the show, you know I'm pretty open. And while I'm thanking people, I should say thanks to my other anonymous donor. Thank you very much. Again, you know, it's cool to get money. If you want to give money to the Deadpan Podcast to help me keep this thing going and just help me in general, it's not required, it's not necessary, but it's cool. It's in the sidebar at www.jackmangan.com. There is a PayPal button. Give donations to Please James Herriot. All donations, great and small. All right, that was a stretch, and I just thought of it just on the moment here. All right, bear with me here. Let's see if you follow this. So what would happen if Chuck D landed his hokey-looking spaceship in Mirkwood Forest on a pitch-dark Sunday with his giant robot Scott Ian and told whatever nasty creatures he found there to curb their violent ways, or he'd reduce their planet to a burnt-out cinder? I think that would be the day that Middle-earth stood illin.
Here, evermore.
What audacity. So check it out. Karen from California stepped up and answered the call from last week. If you remember, I asked someone to sing my Skywalker in the Family segment, and she was actually the only one who recorded anything. Here, have a listen.
Boy, the way Sass Noodle played, before we got Chewbacca's spade, before Luke knocked up Mary Jade, those were the days. Luke kept seeing ghosts of Ben. Droids were droids and men were men. Mr. We could use a fish like Admiral Ackbar again. Ain't no who shot first debate. I made the Ewoks masturbate. Gee, that Millennium Falcon ran great. Those were the days.
Thank you and congratulations, KFK. You win the free signed copy of the Spherical Tomy print chapbook. Send me an email. I'll get it out to you. And sorry, folks, you're welcome to submit more of those, but no more ST chapbook giveaways. And also one more thing, Alvian Boulder deserves a mention because he and I discussed this skit in an email, and it's possible that he was just waiting for me to get the music. Or I don't know, maybe he just got really busy. Either way, I'd have loved to hear your Edith Bunker, Alvy. Send me another email and let's figure something out.
Okay, everybody. Seeing as how I got your attention now, poor Pastor Kavanaugh is still recovering from his run-in with that very varmint we aim to hunt down today. We have to catch him before this happens to some other poor innocent citizen. Boys, bring the pastor up.
Woo!
Well, you can see for yourselves what this evil desperado is capable of. As secretary of this here town, I deputize all of you listening to go out and find Deadpan Jack Mangan and bring him to justice. He can usually be found around that Far Point Media place. So you just go down there to the Central Cortex, sign on, and make sure you go and listen to his podcast very carefully. There's a reward of 500 credits for the person who finds his whereabouts. Now, who's brave enough to go out and ride with me?
I am no coward. No way, no how. No way gonna be riding out no way Delawagon Bando. And I'm gonna wind a cowpoke and then they'll stick and bend a dagger big dick cutter.
Okay, folks. We're counting on you. Come on, Gabby. Let's go.
A new deadpan segment. Okay, this podcast has become secondary to its own comments page. I'm cool with that. You guys rock. I love the community and encourage as many comments and as much good conversation as possible each week. So, I've built a weekly new segment around this. The deadpan comment admin page lists and numbers your 20 most recent posts. So I'll choose two different occasions at random times during the week. I'll sit down and roll a 20-sided die and read the comment and the poster for the number that comes up. I'll record this live on the mic. And now here's where it actually becomes fun. We'll tally these randomly selected comments each from each week. We'll keep a running tally of the comments that are tracked in this during this segment. And in episode 25, we'll look back and we'll add them all up. Whoever's comments have been hit the most will win a free Grand Slam breakfast with me at a Denny's location of my choosing, most likely in the Phoenix area, and also at a date and time of my choosing. Which basically means that if the winner is ever in town, I'll try to make sure it happens then, but no guarantees. Participating Denny's serves that Grand Slam breakfast until 10 p.m., so don't worry about having to actually go to Denny's in the morning. Prize subject to change. Now, of course, you're right. I could just cheat and fix the contest, but I won't. Cheating is not the deadpan way. Whoever wins the breakfast wins the breakfast. Winner cannot trade in their win for its cash value, etc., etc. In other words, if you win, just be happy that you won. And if we're ever in the same town, I'll try to buy you a meal at Denny's. Unless maybe we're more in the mood for Chipotle that day, or maybe greasy In-N-Out burger. You get it? Does it make sense? If not, then too bad. No, just kidding. If not, then ask me questions and I'll explain it further. So let's see who gets the first comment. All right, so it's just about midnight Arizona time, and here we go. I'm going to get out my 20-sided die. All right, and let's see what comes up. Oh, yeah, there you go. Geeks everywhere can appreciate that, a natural 20. And comment number 20 is from Jason C. It says, shrug times two as I can't say shrug again. All right, way to go, Jason. You got 1 point. Do another one of these tomorrow. You'll hear that later on in the show. And you know what? I don't have a name for this segment. Grand Slam Comments is just too cheesy and too lame. So your suggestions for a name for this segment are more than welcome.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Hey, Deadpan, it's Andrea. I was calling you because I just went through the iTunes and picked up a few things, so I'm doing a little earbud here. The first thing is kind of funny. You were talking about Iron Maiden last week. Well, they have a new Iron Maiden song, which I almost fell over. It's called The Reincarnation of Benjamin Breg. But I know it's kind of different. I don't even know who's in the band, if it's even still them or if it's totally different people or what, but that's kind of weird. The other band I got is Kill Hannah, which is some Chicago natives. They have been around for as long as I can fucking remember. And they are really cool alternative band, Kill Hannah, Until There's Nothing Left of Us is the name of their album. You should check it out. Another Chicago guy, Talib Kweli, can't ever say that right. He has a new single out this week, which is pretty cool, kind of the rap music there. And the only other thing, kind of a slow week this week over there. I didn't really find out much I like. But the other thing I was going to talk about was some bands that are new to me, but they didn't have anything new out that I've recently started listening to. One's another rap band, Atmosphere, which is actually, I think, related to Outkast. They're kind of cool if you like rap and hip-hop. It's someone from Outkast and some other people. It's called Atmosphere. They're really cool. The other one is Eagles of Death Metal, which I found out from your comment section. I was told I should listen to them, and I did, and I really, really, really like them. They're a really cool alternative band. And finally, the last one was Alphaville. My brother gave me a bunch of their CDs. I just remember them from the 80s. They did Forever Young, and I can't think of anything else right now from the 80s. But I remember Forever Young was a big hit. And apparently they never stopped making music, and they've been going ever since the 80s and have some really, really, really cool stuff, kind of electronic music that I was really impressed by what I heard. Nothing like what they sounded like in the 80s. So, but still that distinct voice. They had such a distinct voice, but, you know, anyway. All right, I'm babbling. So that's it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Jack. This is Paul in Elk River with a mini earbuds. Just calling to recommend one song. A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I were at a wedding. The reception was in a decent-sized banquet hall, and there was a wedding DJ. Inevitably, he played one of the most inappropriate songs that you ever get played at a wedding, Every Breath You Take. I saw a list of the worst wedding songs ever a few years ago, and I think that one was at the top. I turned to my wife and remarked that they may as well have played Watching You Sleep. Watching You Sleep was released a couple of years ago by Blue, that's B-L-E-U, and was on his album Redhead. This is the stalker anthem for modern times. Its chorus goes, watching you sleep, right outside your window, inches away from sleeping with you, and you don't even know it, watching you sleep all night. The style of the song, and the whole album really, calls to mind piano pop of the 80s, and even if that style isn't up your alley, the song is definitely worth the 99 cents at iTunes. See ya.
Thanks, guys, for the double earbuds. Andrea does a good job as always. I'm definitely curious about the new Iron Maiden song. And Paul, that's a good topic, actually. The another interesting stalker song is Gonna Get Close to You off of the Rage for Order album by Queensryche. That was the one that came out right before Operation Mindcrime. Another song which is kind of unintentionally creepy, I think, is from the master Jimi Hendrix, Foxy Lady. It's just wrong. I'm coming to get you. All right, just picture Ed Gein rocking out to that on his 8-track. So if you want to call in with an earbuds or give feedback on the show or just say hello or just describe the contents of your fridge, the voicemail number is 206-350-TOMY. That's 206-350-8664. And you know what? I feel a little bit like George Bailey on Christmas. I had not a whole lot of content for this show, and then just suddenly at the very last minute, all my friends show up with content. So we've got a bunch of dumbass memories ahead. And the long-awaited segment 3 of the Wander Radio Player's version of my short story, 16 Pieces at a Time. So that's going to come up shortly. But I do want to take care of one more little piece of business right now. I actually got 4 different people who sent me emails after hearing last week's show saying, hey man, you all right? You know, is everything okay? And I really appreciate it. I mean, you guys are really nice. You know, people were saying I sounded like I was a little bit down, but I think it was probably because of the state of the deadpan segment, which went something like this. Fuck 2006. So listen, I really appreciate everyone's concern. It's really cool. I mean, it's really nice to know you have friends. It's really great of everyone. But everything's cool, really. It was just trying to be funny. And to prove it, here is the amended State of the Deadpan 2006 for August 2006.
Happy, 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 joy, joy, joy.
Yeah, that about sums it up. All right, it's time for a double.
Dumbass memories.
Double dumbass on you.
Hey, Deadpan and Centrea. I'm stuck in traffic, which you all know I do quite a bit. But I have a dumbass memory that I had to call in. Back when I was in the first grade, you know, we had class picture day. all the kids get called into the gym to get their picture taken. And we're all just crowded around. And the teacher comes over and says to us, okay, everyone, get in line for your shots. And, you know, my heart drops into my stomach and my eyes get wide with fear. And I thought, we used to get shots to get our pictures taken? And I looked around me and all the other kids were getting in line and, you know, laughing, totally normal. And I was freaking out because I thought I had to get shots. And I started crying. And the girl in front of me, you know, she turns around and she's like, why are you crying? And everyone, like, crowded around me was freaking out because I was totally bawling my eyes out because I thought I had to get a shot. And when I explained it to them, everyone laughed at me. It was horrible. It scarred me for life. So every time I hear the word shot in relation to a photo, it just makes me laugh. That was my dumbass memory. Okay, bye.
This is Mark Foreman. Here's a dumbass memory of mine from when I was in elementary school. Oh, I don't know. I think second grade or so. We had a kid in our class. I forget his name. Maybe Kenneth or something like that. Yeah, it was Kenneth. Yeah, Kenneth was pretty damn weird. He's always talking to us about different things, about how he was in... he was on rocket ships and taking trips and all kinds of weird stuff like that, and complained about these headaches. But the real kicker for us was, he kept on going on about his older brother, who in fact was older than his father. And that's kind of when me and my classmates knew something was up. And we just had to go to the teacher and we're like, hey, it's impossible for someone to have a brother that's older than their father, right? And the teacher looked at us and smiled and said, yes. I said, yeah, we thought so. You better go have a talk with this Kenneth kid. Something up over there. Well, anyhow, that's my dumbass memory.
Thanks for those 2 school days dumbass memories to Andrea and Mark Foreman. And all right, kids. Now, put your mats in a circle, it's story time again. Just to get you up to speed, where we last left off on 16 Pieces at a Time, Jonas had played chess against the Turk in the park, and the Turk had made a comment about playing for Jonas's piano playing ability. And the next day, Jonas had found that he truly couldn't play anymore, and he went back to the park to confront the Turk, and it began to dawn on him that he was in a little bit over his head. Take it away, Jack Hosley, Mark Forman, and Tim Duncan, the Wander Radio Players.
He brushed his fingertips lightly across the tops of the arrayed white pieces. A few wobbled, but all remained standing.
Let's play chess. See for yourself which elements I hope to win from you this time.
I could see all of the conflicting emotions swirling in the man. His better judgment was telling him just to walk away, to take piano lessons and slowly rebuild his talent. But in his indecisive state, he glanced at me. That was his downfall.
All right. One more game, Tyke. I won't make any stupid mistakes this time.
My master merely nodded and gestured for Jonas to begin. Jonas took hold of the king's knight pawn, prepared to slide it forward. But as soon as his fingers contacted the polished wooden bulb atop the piece, I saw the concentration wash from his face. His eyes were suddenly distant and thoughtful, elsewhere overcome by the sudden, unexpected distraction in his mind.
Pawns are nuances, usually random memories. It's the back row pieces that will have the more solid, immediate connections. That pawn in your hand there, that's your stored recollections of your grandparents' house as a child. The scent of pork chops frying, mingled with the sound of your grandfather humming softly to himself. News anchors speaking on television. And, oh yes, the taste of the hard candies they kept in the glass bowl on their coffee table.
He looked from my master to me, then back to the board, in speechless wonder. He touched each of the other pawns, summoning memories of his honeymoon at Disney World, the recalled taste of a stale pretzel eaten on the Staten Island ferry when he was 10, the unsuccessful struggle to withhold tears at his father's wake, the sting in his tiny hands from hitting a baseball with an aluminum bat, the thrill of watching that ball soar over the outfielder's heads, the dread and discomfort of hiding in the bushes as a teenager, stoned and reeking of marijuana smoke, watching the police officers walk slowly past, the elation of his brand new Huffy bicycle as riding it around that first day, of miscalculating its weight during a curb jump, of the vicious scrapes on his elbows and knees, and...
Ah, the loss of your virginity with Sandy Zelensnack in her brother's waterbed. The mingled scents, the awkwardness, the ecstasy, the sense of pride, the horror movie playing unnoticed on the room's television. Now there's a rich memory. I'm looking forward to it.
Jonas barely seemed to notice Turk's words as he let go of the pawns and traced his fingers across the back row pieces. Here, he found deeper connections. Here, the fear showed more prominently in his eyes. His geographical roots and familiarity with New York embedded in the rooks. His aptitude for computer games and programming languages locked in the Queen's Knight and Bishop. The King's Knight contained his bond with his fellow musicians and his circle of friends. The King's Bishop held his connection to his music library, the 1,000 or so records, tapes, and CDs occupying one entire bedroom in his apartment. His hand hesitated over the queen. I could sense his reluctance to learn what she held.
The White Queen is your connection to your ex-wife, Jonas, whose ring you still wear for some reason. I'd be doing you a favor by capturing her.
I can't risk all of these things.
The game is begun. You already have. If you walk away, then you forfeit everything. Your only hope is to beat me. And keep it all.
You bastard. Then I will win this game. That's all there is to it.
And incidentally, Jack Hosley also runs these episodes on his Wander Radio podcast, which is really great listening. You should really go and listen. Okay, time for our second random comment. Let's roll the dice. Oh, well, the time is about 8:30 on Wednesday night. Whatever today is, August 2nd. All right, gonna roll the dice and see what number comes up. Number 18. Let's see what that is. And it's Jason C. again. Wow, Jason, you have 2 points already. It says, "Oh yeah, well, who's your daddy?" And then it includes the following audio comment.
Who's your daddy? Come on, you know who your daddy is. Who's your daddy? Dargo, tell him who his daddy is.
I'm your daddy.
Unrelated thought. If Joseph or Mary had a sister, to little Jesus, would she have been Antichrist? Too offensive? Okay, here's a more neutral one. If you're adamantly opposed to horizontal etched decorations set high up on a wall, would that make you antifreeze? Get it? Antifreeze?
There's just one place to go for all your spatula needs.
Spatula City!
Spatula City!
Dumb. Ass. Memories.
Hey, Jack. This is Paul from Elk River, and I'm calling with a dumbass memory. This is the job series, part one. My first job was working in a food vendor stand at the Minnesota State Fair, selling root beer and popcorn, 10 days a year at the end of 4 summers. The first year, 1987, bought me my first CD player. Also that first year, I worked with the coarsest individual I'd ever yet met in my 14 years of life. I don't even remember his name, but he was just out of high school, perpetually unshaven, always wearing one of those black concert t-shirts, one or another. Our product was dreadfully overpriced, so we had plenty of time to stand around and talk. The guy said we needed girls under the counter blowing us, and he waggled his tongue at one of the girls working with us. She said he was disgusting. He said, "You wouldn't say that if I did it between your legs." So we'd all play quarters. Nobody brought a flask of alcohol or anything, so we played quarters over 4 ounces of pure A&W root beer syrup. How's that for a memory? See you later. Bye.
The world is changed. I feel it in the internet. I feel it in the email. I smell it on the podosphere. Much that now is hidden. For most people cannot yet decipher RSS feeds. It began with the invasion of a kingdom by the terrifying, undefeated Marcus the Merciless. But when Marcus is accidentally killed, his only daughter...
Hey! Who the hell are you? Nina, I was just I know exactly what you were doing. Lousy know-it-all narrators think they can just dictate everything, talk about whatever they want. Give me one good reason I shouldn't just slit your throat right now. I'm just doing a promo for you, for your story. I am trying to tell people all about your adventures. Oh, well, you can go ahead and finish up, I guess, but wrap it up, and no more of that melodramatic backstory. Nina Kimberly the Merciless is an original fantasy audiobook available for free online at ninakimberly.com and podiobooks.com. And if you know it's good for you, you'll go check it out right now.
You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. God, I'm so excited.
Welcome to the triumphant return of Duel of the Fates. Or, well, its return, at least. In the left corner, your first ever crush, Princess Leia Organa Skywalker Solo, Jingleheimer Schmidt. Her opponent, straight out of Marvel Comics, is Mrs. Fantastic, a.k.a. Sue Storm, a.k.a. the Invisible Girl, or post-ERA Invisible Woman.
Does the word invisible mean anything to you?
Yes, this is the first ever all-female Duel of the Fates.
Are there any women here today?
It's the glamorous ladies of Duel of the Fates, which acronyms to GLADOTF. Double X on double X girl-on-girl action? No, no. We're going to avoid the obvious misogynist jokes and treat this battle and its contestants with dignity and respect. So wheel out that vat of jello and let's get dirty. Okay, I just lost Ursula K. Le Guin and Tori Amos there.
Let's rock!
First question, who has the best look? Not that we ever judge women by their appearance. I think it really says something. What with the abundance of prawn, etc., readily available in the world, the ridiculously easy availability of images of female nudity, that geeks go so head over heels for the handful of scenes of Carrie Fisher lounging in that bikini in front of the giant, wrinkled, fleshy Jabba. As for Susan Storm, I know that some guys out there have lusted after her in her skin-tight blue costume, especially when it gets those strategically placed rips in battle. Well, hey, the next time you're ogling your comic books, I want you to picture the big, sweaty artist guy sitting at his drawing board, with his hairy forearms, licking his charcoal pencil tip, and lovingly drawing the curves of her body. Still, I like the irony of an invisible woman winning the best look category. Jessica Alba wins this one. Up next, Love Prowess.
So, Sue Storm married Reed Richards, you know, Mr. Fantastic? And now she has a husband who can change any part of his body to any shape or size he wants. Hold on, I need a second. Okay. Now think about Princess Leia. She never gave up her secrets, even after being interrogated by that big floating ball thing on the Death Star. It had that big, scary needle. And I wonder what other attachments it had. And more importantly, where can I get one? We'll give Love Prowess to the princess. Why? Well, for one thing, she dated Jake from the Blues Brothers. And has there ever been a better porn star name than Leia Organa?
Thank you, Barbarella. Third question, who'd win in a fight? Okay, forget Leia's latent force abilities and the scores of stormtroopers that she and a couple of Ewoks mowed down. The Invisible Woman can create impenetrable telekinetic force fields of any shape or size, then change their sizes and shapes and move them around. You name the Star Wars character who can beat that. Nope. No. No. No, not him either. Nope. Vader wouldn't have time to find her lack of faith disturbing. Her force fields could dismantle his TRS-80 breathing apparatus in a matter of seconds. Blue lightning bolts talk to the force field. Susan Storm wins the fight. Fourth question, the rotating category. Who are these characters' real-life counterparts? Well, Leia is daughter of one of the most evil guys in the galaxy. She's been criticized for being a bit bratty and spoiled, for having a smart-ass mouth, for being chubby, for having weird hair. She's Kelly Osbourne.
You don't fucking man.
And okay, Sue Storm is blonde. She married a genius. She puts up force fields to keep people at a distance. She's been known to disappear. She's always fighting with someone. And there's no doubt that she'd kick your ass. Good lord, she's Courtney Love.
Oh, look at my face.
Okay, so in a decision between Kelly Osbourne and Courtney Love, my immune system begs me to avoid Courtney. Kelly Osbourne gets the KO. Hey, laugh it up for these jokes in 2006. Come 2008, no one will even remember who the hell I'm talking about. Fifth and final category, intangibles. Okay, in the first movie, Leia was wearing all-white robes, splashing around in a big wet trash compactor puddle. Imagine how educational that scene could have been for us kids back in 1977. But okay, all right. Let's get our minds out of the trash compactor. Both of these women are mothers, warriors, and pillars of strength. They've both fought alongside their brothers, their lovers, and a big, strong, not-quite-human guy. And if you look at Vader and Dr. Doom standing next to each other, they're pretty damn similar, aren't they? Both of these women have been known to take charge when the menfolk around them get overwhelmed in the heat of battle. No helpless damsels here. These are strong, well-rounded icons of feminine power. But oh yeah, the Fantastic Four movie was a complete and utter piece of shit. Princess Leia wins the intangibles. So, Kelly Osbourne wins 3-2. No hard feelings, Sue Storm. I had a subscription to FF Comics as a kid. I remember fondly the John Byrne era. If the rotating category had involved Minox in the window, you'd probably have kept a cooler head and beaten Leia. Congratulations to the princess, though. Maybe she can go and celebrate with her grandfather, the midichlorians. Say, do you think Han bought the whole midichlorians explanation when their third kid was born covered with Wookiee fur? Well, no matter. Princess Leia wins Duel of the Fates. Back now to Deadpan. So that's it. You guys bailed my ass out for this episode, and I'm eternally grateful. Go and get the Spherical Tomy print chat book. You can get it directly from the CGP website. That's creativeguypublishing.com. And go check out the good review over at sfreader.com. And there's other news, but I can't think of it right now. Crap. Oh well, keep those comments up. Jason has a commanding lead, but there's lots of episodes left. So maybe your comments will get selected, and you can win the Grand Slam breakfast. Or whatever the hell we end up doing. I'm going to leave off with a kind of a rockin' Matt Mango song. People's reactions to this one are honestly usually kind of hit or miss. Other people are almost always really impressed with Rosalie Vega's incredible vocals on the chorus. Got a real kind of metal, 80s metal groove. I remember I showed up to Matt's basement a little bit late for band practice one night, and I heard them just jamming away at this as I came up, and I went into the basement, and they all were just ecstatic. They said, you gotta hear this, you gotta play along with this new riff. So we played it, and we had a good time, and it eventually grew into the song Our Love is Fading Away. Now Rich, the other full-time guitarist, had come up with the riff, and his brother Pat, who was on bass. Now, you know, if you've ever been in a band situation like that, it gets loud and it's hard to hear. His brother Pat kind of learned it wrong, and we just played it that way for months, where they were each one note off from each other. So me being kind of practical and pragmatic, rather than tell them, hey, you guys are playing the wrong notes, just when it came to that part where they were each hitting the wrong notes, I just hit them both. I hit first Rich's note and then Pat's. And then after a long time of jamming the song, when they kind of finally realized that they were off from each other, and they were looking for a solution, I kind of said, well, I've kind of come up with a solution. And we kind of played it quietly enough for everyone to hear all three instruments. And I said, all right, I guess that works. So there you have it. All right, I'm out of here. I'm not coming back after the music. Keep it real. Keep it deadpan. And let me see if I have anything to close with. Hey, you acknowledge the temptation to live in delusion outside of practical reality, but you'll never go that route. You're just not wired that way. You're deadpan. Catch you in episode 19. Regular deadpan listeners will recognize the intro.
love-filled spirit of mine. You are hardened and rigid, and you're as cold as ice. Flying away, yeah, I'm leaving tonight.
www.jackmangan.com.
The preceding program is part of the Farpoint Media family of podcasts. To find out more about Farpoint Media and the many other podcasts available, visit www.farpointmedia.net. A world of audio wonder awaits you there.